the program. It seems as though the program would be the simplest thing in the world. When you go to a dance, you have a dance program. You know what boys you're going to dance with and what girls you're going to dance with. And you don't even think of not dancing with them. If you have scheduled it, you are there. There is no excuse for you not being there. Because the girl is going to feel, if you have not taken that dance, that there's something wrong with her, that you have something against her, or that you're snickering at her behind her back. The boy is going to feel, if you're not available to dance with him because you had to go to the bathroom or something like that, that you avoided him, that he is not a nice boy, that he's not a good person. Now, those are the human programs. And that pretty well defines it in a very perfect way. The human program of how we act and how we think and how we do things. Now, what is the key note or the key word about that program? And the key word is, if you have a good attitude about yourself and you miss a dance or you miss doing something perfectly on the program where someone is not available to you, not you to them, but them to you, you have a good attitude about yourself. You say, oh, they must have had to go to the bathroom. Seriously. Oh, they must have been in the middle of a wonderful talk with somebody, just, you know, setting up a wonderful future for themselves. Oh, boy, that's great. I don't mind missing my dance for that. You see, a person with a happy attitude of life, they will make statements to themselves that'll strengthen their condition, that'll enliven, because they're not possessed or owned by anybody else in the world. Now, the program. You go to Sai Baba's ashram, and he has thousands of people coming through there. Thousands of people. He may come and stand on the podium and speak to them, and he may not. He may be delayed, or he may not even bother to come. He may sleep in. He may just have a late breakfast, or he may have an early breakfast and appear early on the podium. And the people who are there get the message, and the people who are not there say, oh, you weren't supposed to start until a specific time. You always are there ahead of time. You're always there ahead of time. So, I'm sure that this takes place at Sai Baba's ashram. During his talk, people have to get up and go to the bathroom or something like that. And they walk in and out. So here you have 1,000 people, and 500 have to go to the bathroom. And they walk in and out and in and out and in and out during his talk. What would happen? They give seminars on building your character. I've attended a number of seminars. You go into the seminar and they say, you've all read the rules?
Yep.
You all went potty before you came in?
Yep.
You tried to go even if you didn't have to go?
Yep.
The door is locked. Nobody leaves the room until noon, and it's now 9 o'clock. 3 hours, the door is locked. You are master of your body, you are master of your circumstances, and you're going to pay attention. And they conduct the meeting powerfully, dynamically. If you have to go to the bathroom, you hold it. If you need a drink of water and you didn't bring your bottle along, that's just too bad. There are no excuses. You've come there and paid them $3,000 for a weekend. $3,000 for a weekend for a program that's going to change your life. And do you think you're going to walk in and out as it pleases you just because you're so damn wealthy that $3,000 doesn't mean anything to you? You can go to the corner bar and sit and have a drink while the program's going on because you're just attending because you're putting on a show that you're there. You don't really intend to get anything out of it because you know it all. You know it all. You're so brilliant. You're putting on a show to go there, but you know it all. You've been there, done that. You don't need to participate in the program. You don't need to play the game. You don't need to do the things that are there. This is what a lot of people do. A lot of people do. We go to INTA, one of the most disgusting programs you could ever experience in your life. People come to INTA not for the program that is offered by INTA because it's atrocious. They come to talk with their fellow New Thought people. They come to meet other people who are from New Thought. The auditorium is virtually empty of people because the people don't come to hear the speakers because it's the same old speakers saying the same old thing with nothing new, and they don't even write a talk ahead of time because they say, I'm so good, I can just speak off the cuff and I can give them a worthwhile talk. Well, that's great. That's great. If their talks are so worthwhile, why don't the people like to sit and listen to them? Now, if you are going to INTA, just for instance, and you're going to go there for the program, and you're going to meet people, you tell people, I will meet you after this talk, or I'll meet you between these talks, or I'll meet you in the evening, or I'll meet you at breakfast, or I'll meet you anytime. But you don't miss any of the talks. You don't miss any of the programs because you've gone there to get the program. If you did not go there to get the program and you went there only for the socialization, then say that. Say that. Say, Mimi, I've only come here for the socialization. I am not interested in these lectures because they have nothing to contribute to what my life is in. I heard lots of the lectures. Outstanding speakers. But it's the same talk they gave 30 years ago. The same talk they gave the previous year and the previous year. And the board of directors are not there sitting and listening to the talk to hear that it's the same thing. They're having their board meetings during the talks because the talks are not that interesting. The talks are not that important, not that vital. The board of directors has their meeting right in the middle of the talks. And so the people who would like to hear the talks, if any of them do, might be at the board of directors meeting. Now, I'm not saying these things to disparage or to put down. I'm merely saying this is the philosophy that you have for yourself. And if it's the philosophy you have toward New Thought, and it is, if it's the philosophy you have for this very expensive seminar meeting that you know it all, you're going there merely for cosmetic purposes, but you know it all. If you're going to hear Sai Baba speak and you have to go to the bathroom, you haven't planned. If you know that after you drink water or coffee, you're going to have to go to the bathroom in 2 hours, don't drink water or coffee. Wait until his program is over, then drink. Or just sip on a little bit of water while the program is going on. That's allowable. But don't create yourself needing to go out if you have no more control than a little baby. And if you must wear a diaper, then you can just let it go. But, you see, we're not here because we're playing a silly game. We're here because we're playing a very important game. Now, this morning was another indication of how some of you have an attitude toward the program. I say, time after time after time after time after time. If you must have the dogs in the house, put them under control. If you cannot hold them in your lap, put them in the bathroom. They're happy there. When should you do this? I say, okay, I am going to the bathroom so I don't have to get up during my talk. Did I say that?
Yes.
Did I say that very pointedly?
Yes.
I'm going to give the talk now. What should all of you have done? You should have raced for your little monsters and done whatever you're going to do. You should have put them in the bathroom, put them in your lap, done whatever you want to do. And I will say from now on, never in your lap again during the talk. During the talk by me or anyone else, we want all of your attention. We don't want your attention diverted in the slightest by your pet. Okay? They go away. You're here for the program. You're here for what we have to share, what we have to teach. This is a monastery. You are paying the highest price anyone could ever pay to be in a monastery or to be anywhere. You are paying the highest price anyone could pay to go to a lecture. You are giving your life. I have your entire life. I have your body, your mind, your heart, your soul. I have all of it. Or do I? You're coming here and paying $3,000 an hour for the lectures. Well, what kind of attention are you giving me? If you come here to pay $3,000 an hour for a lecture, don't you think you would go out and buy yourself the nicest pad of paper you could imagine? At $3,000 an hour for a lecture, I mean, you can afford it. Go out and buy yourself a nice little notebook. Make sure you have two or three pens so they don't run out of ink or it might not work. Make sure that your clothing is comfortable. Come in with your bottle of water if you wish. Sit down 5 minutes ahead of time. This has always been our criteria, but sit down 5 minutes ahead of time and say to yourself, I am ready to receive all that I can receive from this lecture. I am ready to receive all that I can receive from this lecture. I'm ready to receive all that I can receive from this lecture. This lecture is the most wonderful lecture in the world. Dr. Barley is the greatest speaker in the world, or whoever is speaking. Dr. Barley is the greatest speaker in the world. He illumines me. He inspires me. He uplifts me. Say this about whoever the speaker may be. I love Dr. Barley. I cannot wait to hear him. When he walks in the room, his charisma lightens the place, and I just feel alive with power and wonder, or about any speaker who's coming in. And then you're saying this to yourself, quietly. Your eyes are closed. Your hands are folded. You're sitting comfortably in your chair on the floor, or however you're sitting. And you're relaxed. And people come in and out, late, early, whatever. It doesn't matter to you. On the stroke of the hour, you open your eyes. You do not see the people around you. You didn't come for the people around you. You came for the speaker. So you turn your eyes on that speaker and you say, let's go, to yourself. You have your pad of paper and your notebook, your pens and your pencils. You have everything all set. You do not even notice that the hall is filled with people. You do not even notice that they're coming in late or whatever. And the speaker gets up to speak. And you applaud him in your heart. You applaud her in your heart, whoever the speaker may be. You give them 100% of your attention. You do not judge what they have to say. You just listen. You take notes. or you listen, whatever you wish to do. After the lecture is over, you sit quietly. You let the crowd empty out of the hall, and you sit quietly. You begin to digest what was said. You begin to understand what was said. You begin to see how you can apply what was said. You don't do this during the talk. During the talk, you listen, you listen, you listen, and you take it in like your tape recorder. And then after it's over, after the day is over, and you go to sleep at night, you say, "I am peace. This was a wonderful day, and tomorrow is another wonderful day. I am peace." No more judgments than that. I am peace. And you fall directly asleep. And the next thing you know, it's exactly the time in the morning you choose to get up. You are a disciplined, self-dedicated, self-determined, self-diligent person. You are totally responsible for all of your actions and your attitudes. We conduct here the Absolute Monastery. And in the Absolute Monastery, we have one purpose. That each person who comes here walks 100% their spiritual path. That each person who comes here has fun and is themselves 100%. Now, no person comes here ever because they're sick. No person comes here ever because they need anything. No person comes here ever because they want to be taught. People come here only to reveal the divinity that's within them, to reveal the magnificence that's within them. If this is to be a place of joy and happiness and fun, if this is to be a place of being yourself and having fun, you are the one who makes it so. You are the one who makes it so. Let me digress for a moment. We have here what are called a three-letter word. Pets. We have pets here. We have dogs and cats. We have rattlesnakes. We have bunnies. We have gophers. We have squirrels. We have skunks. We have coyotes. We have horses. You name it. We have pets here. Lots of them. Lizards and toads and frogs. Worms. Centipedes, you name it. We got loads of pets here. Let's just take Button, for instance. Button is a nice miniature schnauzer dog. He happens to be my pet. Not really. I happen to be his pet. But Button is here to be himself and have fun. If I take Button and put him in the bathroom and close the door, he says, "Okay, time to relax. My world has been reduced. I don't have so many things to be concerned about." I open the bathroom door, and he's out checking everybody, looking out the door, seeing where the bunny rabbits are, seeing what's going on. He is the master of his world. He's having fun and being himself. And if I take anything away from him, it doesn't bother him. I can take some very special thing away from him, a bone or something, and he might growl a little bit and say, "What are you doing?" And I say, "I'm doing it for your own good, baby." And he'll say, "Oh, come on, get off it." He says, "You're doing it because you're doing it, and that's the only reason that you need to be doing anything." So I take the bone away, and I put it away, and in a second later, it's okay. I'll have some other amusement. And he goes for another amusement. He amuses himself. He has fun for himself. It is not I who make or take or do anything to his fun time. He does it himself. Now, why would I take the bone away from him? Why would I give it to him in the first place? I give it and I take it, teaching him not to be possessed of it. Oh, even the dogs not to be possessed. That's right. Button is a perfectly happy dog. He has his yard. He takes care of the house when he's in the house. He takes care of the yard when he's in the yard. And he takes care of the whole campus when he's out on the 100 acres. Oh, he's got to check things out. This morning he walked the entire circumference of the campus over a mile on the leash. And he was just wonderful. He tugged here and tugged there because there were smells that had to be investigated. But when he couldn't do it, okay. I had to drag him a couple of times because he is on the very heavy scent of something very wonderful. And I just pulled him along. Okay, I guess I can get that up. I guess that's not important. And he relaxed and went along. But he wasn't angry. It's no fun here. You're taking away all my fun. It's no fun here. He didn't make it fun. He makes it fun. You understand? He's having fun because he makes it fun. If he is deprived of something, he's not deprived of anything. He takes everything for the moment and lives for the moment and is delighted in the moment. And if the moment happens to change what he thinks he might be doing that moment, so he rolls with the punches. He just flows with the program. He's perfectly happy. Oh, he might go back and smell it again, like little Anita, when she was told not to wear her pretty clothes after school at playtime. She's supposed to wear her play clothes. So she had her pretty clothes on and had to throw them in the trash can. She went to the trash can, looked in it, said, "Oh, my pretty clothes." And then she closed the trash can, and it was over. She didn't need to even have that one moment of, "Oh, my pretty clothes." Except it was a lesson for her. She never violated the lesson again. 3 years old. That's too much to ask of a 3-year-old. From the very time we think of a baby, we create that baby however we want that baby to be. And we are the master of that baby. We are the master of that baby from the time of conception. We are the master of that baby from the time it steps into the world. We are the master of that baby until the time it steps out of the world. Oh, Herb, we cannot be the master of another person. You are not the master of another person. You're the master of your creation. That baby is your creation. Do you understand? Everything in your life is your creation. You're number one. You're top dog. You're the one who creates everything around you exactly the way you want it to be. You create every person, every being, every thought, every idea. You create every objectivity that you see. You create every animal. You create every person. They're your creation. They're not their creation. They don't exist except in your consciousness, in your thought, in your world, in your attitude. You don't know that, do you? You don't really know that. You're afraid of that. And until you're not afraid of that anymore, you're not a master. A master can only be master of himself and all of his creation. And when a master is master of himself and all of his creation don't have any rights. They don't have any individual beingness. They cannot be whatever they want to be. They are whatever we create them to be, and that will always be so. Are you ready to take responsibility for that? That's what you're here for. You're in the monastery here to take responsibility for being the master of yourself, for being the creator of yourself. We don't exist here. I don't exist. Just as your creation. You don't exist. Except as my creation. And I delight in your creation. I delight in this. And from time to time, I give sort of hair-raising lectures to sort of bring us back to the point that I am the boss. So shape up. You're the boss, so the world shapes up. Whatever thought I have about you, you express. Whatever thought you have about me or anybody else, we express. Are you a good parent? That remains to be seen. Are you in charge of your world? Are you the one who determines what your world does, where it does it, why it does it, how it does it? I'm not in charge of the war over there. Oh, yes, you are. If that war is in your consciousness in the slightest, you're in charge. You are number one. In the School of the Master, we taught that very strongly, and none of you paid any attention to it. I said, you're the only one here. Don't open the door for somebody else. You're the only one here. If I say, bring me a glass of water, you all bring me a glass of water, and you pile them in front of me. Can you handle that? It's so simple and so wonderful and so dramatically dynamic and powerful, but can you handle that? Because you've always been taught you're your brother's keeper. You've always been taught that you have to do consideration for other people in this world. You can't just go doing as you damn please. And it's true, you can't do as you damn please. You do as you blessed please. You do as is right in your heart. You do that which makes you happy, that which makes you fulfilled, that which makes you feel fantastic. You don't do anything that is going to harm you or make you feel unhappy. If you do, you're rather a fool, aren't you? If you do anything that is not harmonious for you, you are a fool. And what a strange and odd thing to do to ourselves. Okay. Now consider. We had the School of the Master here, the shortened version. I never like to give it less than 2 years, but I gave it for 6 months. 3 months, wasn't it? 3 months. Okay. I gave it for 3 months. And all who came, and we had a good cross-section who came, all who came with one prominent idea in their mind. I know it all. I'm not going to learn anything here. I'm superior to anything that is being asked of me. Anything that's being asked of me, I don't need to do it because I am superior to it. Well, that's fine. That's fine. You all got the results out of it exactly according to what you put into it. Many wonderful things did happen to all of you because it could not but happen. Because you did follow a few of the programs. You followed the fun programs, not the discipline programs. You followed the fun programs. You followed the fun program of going naked outside and working along the path and having no one pay any attention to you. You were your own person, and you designed the path that pleased you. You put your little hocus pocus on the path, and you made it into a fun little thing. You prepared the meals, and you just had fun preparing the meals because you had fun eating the meals. You enjoyed your sleeping quarters because here you were with all these other people lying in the living room of the house, like a big cartwheel on the floor, all sleeping naked on the floor. You'd never done such a thing in your life, never. Did you learn anything, or did you just snuggle up like a little baby, like a little fetal position, and go to sleep? What happened to you? Did you realize you were in the presence of masters that you had created? Did you realize that every single person there was a reflection of you? Did you realize that every single person there who followed the rules in whatever dimension they were working received great rewards? Oh, yes. We had many people who came here who were sick. We had Heinz who came here who was very sick. Monica was sick. Herbert was sick. Stefan was sick. Sylvia, Ingeborg, Anita, Irene, Christina, Ellen, all were sick. Gregor, did I miss anybody?
Ilse.
Yeah, that's right, Ilse. Ilse was sick too. And anybody else, if I missed them, that's their problem. But they were all sick. You know why they were sick? They were sick because they felt they were superior to the program. They felt this is just falling off a log, no problem at all. Every one of them. Every one of them. And they went away from here empty. They went away from here unfulfilled. Some of you are still here, but you're unfulfilled. Why are you unfulfilled? Because you didn't play the game 100%. I said jog, and you wouldn't jog. Sylvia wouldn't jog because her breasts were so bothersome. I said, lasso him down, tie him down, and jog. Did Sylvia try? A little bit, but not enough so you could notice. Did the rest of you jog when I asked you to jog? Does that mean you have to get right out there and big deal jog like they do on the streets of New York? No. That means you jog to the best of your ability and you improve each day. Of the 3 months, at the end of 3 months, you should have all been professional joggers. I said, do the Tai Bo. And I gave you the big screen to follow. I gave you the best teacher in Tai Bo that exists, the man who created it, right there on television. And you didn't follow his directions. You looked at other people around you who were doing the Tai Bo exercise, and you smiled at how inferior they were to the way you did it, how they didn't do it properly according. You should have been paying attention to yourself. Okay. So you missed the vote. Then we had you standing night and day. No sitting. No sitting to go to the toilet. No sitting to eat. No sitting to do anything. No lying down to go to bed. Standing, standing, standing. I gave you the baby step standing. You know what baby step means? That's the easiest possible one. On both feet. You should have been doing it on one foot. And you should have been doing it on your toes. But I gave you the easy one, standing on 2 feet. And you couldn't even do that. You know what you did? You looked at other people and saw how they were falling asleep and falling over and doing different things. You should not have seen another person there. You were number one. You're the only one there. Now, I spoke about all of you being ill with your diverse maladies. Heinz had a perfect opportunity to be whole and perfect. Heinz had a perfect opportunity to be whole and perfect for the rest of his life. But you know what he did? While he was working on the path, instead of diligently 100% working on the path, he took a nap. He took a nap every day for 1 or 2 hours when he's supposed to be working. He cheated himself. Today he's suffering the consequences of those things. He cheated himself. Now, what do you do? What did you do? Did each of you take a nap? Oh, no. Heavens, no. Well, what did you do? You don't have to answer me because I could tell you. But the thing is, what did you do? What did Greg do? Greg is a super guy. But what did he do? He's a big, tough nut. And so he did the Tai Bo in triple time. And then he complained because his leg went out and his back went out. And so I said, Greg, follow directions. Do it the way the program is designed to be done. Sure, you're a great big hunk of lard. Sure, you're a big muscle-bound nut, you know. But play the program. Play the program. Herbert Marti, he didn't play the program. He was a dilettante. That means he was a dainty at the program. He just did a little bit of everything just to be in there. But Herbert couldn't help himself. Herbert was so far down the road on perfect health, he was so far away from it, that following it as well as he did, he left here like a Spartan. He left here strong, powerful, brown, beautifully bronzed, lean, wonderful. Did you notice? And did you notice Christina? Christina gave her best, but she still had to play the dainty. She still had to play as though this is a little bit beneath her. And because of that, she missed so much that she could have had. And you know what she could have had? You see, when we play the dainty, when we play that this is beneath us, what we are saying is we don't really believe it. Because when you're good, you're good. You don't have to play the game. You don't have to pretend. You just act that way 100% when you're good. When you're good, you are good. People come up to you and they recognize your charisma. They recognize your quality right away. You don't have to tell them. You don't have to wear fine clothes to look fine. You don't have to have fine language to look fine. You don't have to have a quality background to be quality. Quality is part of the heart. Exquisite quality of our being is who we really are. You look at 50 little children from underprivileged areas, and you watch them at play. And you see the ones who have quality. You see the ones who like themselves. You see the ones who respect themselves and the ones who are having a good time being themselves and having fun. You see them, they stand out just like pickles in a barrel. They're just so definite, so there. And yet they're not acting superior to anybody else. They're just living their life in perfect harmony. Are you having any difficulties in any area of your life? If you are, you can straighten it out right now. You've had the school of the master. You've had these lectures day in and day out. Boring, repetitive, always pounding on the same issues. But when will you remember? I'm going to say this very dirty word to you right now, and I probably should turn off the tape recorder when I say it. It's a very dirty word. I don't know if I can say it, but it's a very dirty word. Anything you experience in your life, you put there by speaking the word yourself. Anything that you experience in your life, you put the cause in motion to bring it. That's a very dirty word. Because I should say, oh, I'm so sorry that your father died. I'm so sorry that you're sick. I'm so sorry you don't have any money. I'm so sorry that you can't get this work done. I'm so sorry that you're unhappy. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Isn't that what I'm supposed to say? Isn't that what society expects us to say? Isn't that what you expect it to say? Sylvie came to me and said, I'm not happy. And I thought, what may I do about that? I can help you be more unhappy or help you be happy. What do you want me to do? Ellen comes in here and she says, Herb, I got to have a special talk with you. We've got some problems here. And I said, okay. Who's in charge of Ellen's problems? Anybody want to say it? Ellen. Who's in charge of Sylvia's happiness or unhappiness? Sylvia. Nobody makes Sylvia unhappy but herself. Nobody makes Ingeborg a good speaker but herself. And if Ingeborg's going to go around being boring, she's going to be boring to everybody. We tell Ingeborg, don't look out the window while you're talking to us. Look at us. Don't look out the window while you're talking to us. Look at us. And she still looks out the window. Do you know that? She still looks out, and then she says, why am I so boring? Well, be interested in telling us what you're talking about. Be interested in telling us, the listener, we're your audience, what you're talking about. And if you don't want to do that, then go talk to yourself. Go walk the path and say, I am wonderful, I'm fantastic. Do you understand that? Anita, she's got hot feet. She wants to run here and run there and do this and do that. She's got all sorts of great ideas flooding through her mind. She says she cannot be happy unless she does this. She cannot be happy unless she does that. She cannot be happy unless she goes here. She cannot be happy. She cannot be happy. What's that all about? What's that all about? Young lady, you're not going to be happy anywhere you go unless you're first happy within yourself. And if you're happy within yourself, then you don't go anywhere. You may travel the world, you may have lots of fun, but you're always taking yourself with you and you're always happy. Nothing on the outer is ever going to make you happy. Content, fulfilled, satisfied in any way. Nothing. Because the outer has not that capacity. Only the inner can do that. So now, if you say, Herb, I want to go and meditate for a day. Super, go ahead. How do I do that? Well, do what you want. Well, should I come in for meals? If you wish. What should I do? How should I handle this? Should I take a bag lunch along? If you wish. Should I take a bottle of water along? If you wish. You know, I don't care. I only see you happy doing whatever you're doing. Now, if Anita, and let's just pick on her for a minute here, if Anita really were sincere about being a monk, I probably shouldn't say this because that's probably the next thing she's going to do. But if Anita is really, and any of you, if you're really sincere about being a monk, who can give me the four words aloud? Untouched. No. Unpossessed. Non-judgmental.
One-pointed.
Okay. If each of you, starting with Anita, can do that, you can go out here and lie on the sidewalk and sleep in the arms of Morpheus. Sleep in the arms of the angels. And you will get up feeling wonderful. You can go out and work in the freezing cold weather with no clothing on and be warm and toasty. You can go in the hottest weather and have your air conditioning system turned on and be totally comfortable. I do not suggest that you do that. I do not suggest that you do that. First, test your flying ability by jumping off the chair. And here I go. And if you can fly jumping off the chair, you can fly anywhere. Do you understand? Now, Anita gave herself a lesson the other day, which she paid no attention to. She had this little bird in her hand, and she says, "Little bird, I will let you go if you show me that you can fly." And so the little bird flew around her hand and landed on the other side of her hand. Now, did he need to have a big jump? Did he need to fly to the moon and back to prove that he could fly? No. Do you need to fly to the moon to prove that you can fly? No. Just fly around your hand. And then what did Anita say? She said, "Well, looks like you got it under control. Go for it." And the little guy took off. He looked back, he says, "But Mama, I'm bonding to you." That's life, isn't it? That's life. Are you ready to jump off the chair to prove you can fly? Or are you going to go on the mountaintop and jump off the mountain? So you're either going to fly or die. What kind of game are you going to play here? Are you going to go out into the hot sun and work and play and be cool like toast? Just take a look at Irene. Yeah, Irene was here too. Just take a look at Irene. What did Irene do during the seminar, during the School of the Master? She was out there every day turning brown like a bear in the hot summer sun. Was she too hot? Did she ever complain of the heat? Did she ever complain of the sun? No. Did any of you ever complain of the sun? Some of you did. And those of you who did, reaped the harvest. You reaped the harvest of the sun being uncomfortable. Now, you must use sunscreen protection. Some of you did and some of you didn't. Those of you who did needed it, and those of you who didn't need it. Now, those of you who didn't, were you burned or were you browned? You're browned. Some of you slathered it all over your body because it felt so good, you know. But did you need it? No. Because you were out there working on your path, and while you worked on your path, your perspiration oozed it out of your skin and washed it off of you, and it wasn't there. And some of you would sprinkle yourself with the hose because it was warm, and you washed it all off. You see, I'm not kidding. Heinz could be whole and perfect right now. The condition Heinz is experiencing is the same one he experienced when he was here. Gerd came here, and he had a condition, and Gerd is still having that condition. And Gerd is going to have that condition for the rest of his life until Gerd does what? Until Gerd says, "I like me, I 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 like me," and believes in himself. When he likes himself, can he ever enjoy anything that's contrary to his highest good? Is Gerd a good guy? Is Monica a good girl? Why is Monica experiencing things in her life that are not totally to her desire? She just doesn't like herself. You see, when Monica goes around liking herself and doing things that please herself without an ulterior motive, you see, every time we have an ulterior motive, we kill the very experience, the very positive, powerful experience that we like to have. Is she doing it to show somebody how good she is? Is she doing it to prove something to somebody, even herself? If she is, she's going to be destroyed by it. The minute she does everything just for herself to have fun, poop, she's an angel. It's done. You understand? The minute I, each of us do things only for ourselves to have fun, it's done. So long as you are going around trying to manipulate people, trying to get people to think your way and get people to feel sorry for you and get people to respond to you, so long as you do that, what's going to happen to you? You're going to go nowhere fast. You're going to experience the very things you say you don't want to experience. Now, I'm very gentle with all of you, even though you think I'm tough. And I tell you, put away the tools, and you don't do it. Ingeborg is as big a failure in that as anybody else. I say, make things nice and clean, and you don't do it. I say, close the doors, you don't do it. I say, turn off the lights when you're not using them, you don't do that. I say, why is the rug in the hall climbing up the wall? I've seen it do that now day after day after day after day. Every person who walks across that carpet, if the carpet creeps further than an inch from the wall to the wall, stop and straighten it out. If the carpet is that doing that and that doesn't please you, take the carpet out. But I want to keep the floor from being dirty there because that's a traffic lane. That's a very busy area. All right? We'll take the carpet out and put tile in there. Then you won't have to worry about it being dirtied or worn down by walking over it, right? In fact, if this is your choice, we'll just take the carpet out of the whole house and just put tile in. Or just leave the bare floor. Probably better just put linoleum in. Isn't that fascinating? If you cannot keep the dogs under control, we get rid of the dogs. If you cannot keep the cats under control, we get rid of the cats. If you cannot keep yourself under control, we get rid of you. We don't send you away. We just ignore you. And you wither away. Terrible way to go. We're talking about playing the game, following the program. The more you're able to follow the program, the more the program is a benefit to you. The more you're able to follow the program, the more you learn to be yourself and have fun. If you don't want to be yourself and have fun, that's perfectly okay. Go somewhere else. If you want to be yourself and have fun, here is the playground. We have the outer playground, the inner playground, everything for you. Are you ready for such a playground? That would be nice if you were. Do I love Heinz? With all my heart. If I had to give up my life for his so that he could continue living, would I give it up? You bet. Would I do this for any one of you? You bet. Without a moment's notice, on a moment's notice, without a moment's notice, you bet. Why? Because I have one purpose in being with all of you. And that's being your share, your mentor, your teacher, however you want to term it. Your lover. You like that? That sounds good, doesn't it? Your friend. Maybe, maybe not. My purpose in life for each of you is to work with you on polishing your inner diamond so that you can be all that you are. If you want to. You don't need me. Never did, never will. But you enjoy it. And I don't need you. I'm already very content. But I enjoy you. And I see you whole and perfect. I see you doing everything fantastic right now. I see you master of your world, of your life, of your affairs. Do you see yourself master? Well, if you do, don't ever violate the game. And the game says, be yourself and have fun. And if you ever do anything that's not being yourself and having fun, think about it very seriously. Is that what you really want? Now you're going to have an hour of introspection. And then you're going to have whatever else you're reading, your class. So just go on those things. They're the program. Even though I've spoken to you longer this morning than I have done before. You're ready. You're ready for a wonderful day. You're ready for a wonderful life. Now it's up to you to recognize that it's already there, right inside of you, having a loads of fun, being yourself. So, I love you very much, and have a great day.